I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Some of the material I share in the beginning tonight is material of my own, and then the major portion of it is from the Gothard Pastors One Day Seminar, which was held in Hearst, Texas just a month ago, and I had the privilege of going. And a lot of times when we go to these seminars, we like to try and share as much of it as possible with you. Now, first thing I'd like to say regarding the material that I share with you tonight is that this was really adapted primarily for pastors, but understandably the needs of pastors' wives are the same as you wives have here tonight. There's no difference between the pastor's wife and each of you. They came up with this material over a period of 2 years. One person interviewed over 1,000 different wives, and they mentioned that in the process of the interviewing of these wives, that after several questions, most of the wives, now these were pastors' wives, most of the wives broke down and began to cry because the interviewer was touching in areas where obviously the husband was not meeting needs. And so after 2 years of surveying wives, they came up with these seven basic needs, which we'll share with you in just a moment. Maybe just to see what kind of a marriage you have, you might look at a couple of captions here. I promised I'd tell no more jokes, but that doesn't hurt my sharing some with you by way of overhead. Obviously, in this situation, Andy Capp has a real inability to understand his wife. He just doesn't understand his wife at all. Whatever he says to her, it turns out to be the wrong thing. Not sure if you can read that or not. In the second situation, you may be expecting too much of your wife. Here's one where he's expecting her to more or less serve him. You remember to buy the hinges? I think that's supposed to be "you wouldn't," isn't it? Anyway, whatever it is, that's it. You may be expecting too much from your wife, okay? And then the last one summarizes perhaps more marriages than we would like to admit. Total breakdown, 6, 5, and then stars. And maybe that's your marriage tonight. We hope not. I don't even know if you can see those back there. I guess it wasn't really worth showing anyway. Got an overwhelming response on that. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Somebody has said marriages are made in heaven, but they have a way of coming down to earth in a hurry once the marriage has been consummated. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, "You husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel. Or dwell with your wife according to knowledge," is the more literal translation which the Authorized Version has. Dwell with her according to knowledge, or in an understanding way. "As with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." There are other translations that we might look at of this verse, that second phrase particularly, "live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker vessel." Or as the New International Version puts it, "in the same way be considerate as you live with her and treat her with respect." Or as the Living Bible puts it, "you husbands must be careful of your wives, being thoughtful of their needs." Or today's English version, "live with your wives with the proper understanding." A New Testament Greek scholar has translated this verse this way: "In the same manner, let your home life with them be governed by the dictates of knowledge." But any way we want to look at it, Paul uses the word knowledge here. And the old thought that I cannot understand my wife, Peter is destroying that here in 1 Peter 3:7. He says we can understand our wives. We can know what makes them tick. We can know what their needs are, that we don't have to give up here in a frenzy and say, well, I just don't understand her, and so therefore not try to understand her. The Bible indicates we can understand our wives. And there are two things that are brought out in this verse that the wife has a definite need of. This is not two of the seven needs. We'll get to them in a moment. But two needs that are brought out here. Number one is the wife has a need for intelligent leadership or understanding leadership in the home. Basically, God has created the marriage relationship, the husband to be an initiator, the aggressor, and the wife to be a responder. And the wife can only respond to what the husband gives her to respond to in the home. I'm always kind of interested when I'm sort of out of sorts and I say some kind of a remark to Connie, how the first thing she maybe will, in another way, with the same kind of a tone, chastise the girls. And I realize the whole thing always goes back to me because I'm the initiator. And that's why Paul said, husbands, love your wives. Create an atmosphere of love in the home, because this affects all of the areas of relationships in the home. And that's why Howard Hendricks said the most important thing that you guys can do for your wives or for your children is to love their mother. Because this creates an atmosphere of love in the home that is just conducive to good family relationships. And so the husband is the initiator of the whole thing. And along with that headship, you see, comes the responsibility. A lot of husbands like to hold that over the head of their wives and say, well, I'm head of the home. Why don't you let me be head? But unfortunately, along with that headship comes the responsibility of being the right kind of a leader and the head in the home. Men must learn to be men. Paul makes that same statement. Act like men. Be strong in 1 Corinthians 16:13. I think it's an encouragement to we men to be men in the home and to sort of take the bull by the horns and be the leader, because if we don't be the leader, then our wives have to resort to that position which was not given to them by God, and consequently they become very frustrated that they're having to act in a role that God has never given to them, and this affects the rest of the relationships in the home life as well. Many times the woman accepts that position of leadership reluctantly because her husband fails to do so. Oh, we may accept that leadership in areas where we're regarding the physical, meeting the physical needs of our family, of our wife and our children, providing much for them in the way of finances, but not taking the leadership in the home emotionally and spiritually, which is far more important. So that's the first need that a wife has for intelligent leadership in the home. Secondly, she has a need for respect and honor, as Peter puts it here, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. He mentions two things about the position of the woman. Number one, that she is a weaker vessel, not in terms here of her intellectual understanding, but in terms of her ability to be able to handle things emotionally and also in the area of physical strength. The woman is not as strong as the man. And this is why clear back in Genesis, God said to Eve after she had sinned that your desire shall be to your husband and he shall rule over you. That he would dominate the wife. And by dominating, I mean here provide the proper leadership in the home, and she would have to submit to his leadership. So the wife has a need then for respect and honor. It's necessary to a woman that she feel secure in the love relationship that he have with her husband. Otherwise, this will create many problems in other areas. That she feels secure in her husband's affection. And that's why we fellows have to reinforce that many times a day. It was Lord Byron, the poet, who said, man's love is of a man's life a thing apart. 'Tis woman's whole existence. Man has that ability to separate love and life, but the woman does not. And I think Scripture bears this out. And that's why to her, love is the most important thing. A man can much easier get along without love than a woman can, because God has created her to be a responder and the husband to be the initiator. And that's why Paul said again, husbands, love your wives, because they see all of life is summed up in that one word, love. Man's love is of a man's life, a thing apart. But to a woman, it's her whole existence. And our love, and I often say this in weddings, I'm not sure I've ever said it here in the church services though, our love for our wives is the very assurance that they have that we will not abuse that authority that God has given to us as leaders in the home. Let me say it again. The love that we have for our wives is their assurance that we will not abuse that position of authority that God has given to we husbands at home. And I think that's why Paul said, wives, submit to your husbands, but then husbands, love your wives later on in the same passage, because that's their assurance that we will not abuse that authority that God has given to us. Now let's turn to the seven basic needs of the wife, and I have listed these, and we're not going to spend a lot of time with them because obviously we don't have a lot of time tonight. So what I'm going to do is list them and give you time to write them down and make some comments on each one as we go, and hope that you will take the time to write them down. I've listed the needs as well as the scripture to go with those needs. I guess I'll start here and then I'll move it up. You see that, all right? All right, the first basic need that the wife has is she needs to know that she's meeting vital needs in your life and ministry that no other woman can meet. She needs to know that she's meeting vital needs in your life and ministry that no other woman can meet. And we would almost have to put that in parentheses, the very last phrase, that no other woman can meet. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Or as we've heard it paraphrased, "I will make him someone who is tailor-made to meet his needs." A complement to the husband. That's what the woman is. And if she cannot see, if our wives cannot see how they're meeting vital needs in our lives, then they don't have that assurance in the relationship that God wants them to have. She needs to know the details. Now, don't just say, "Well, honey, you're really meeting needs in my life." You know, I came home on that day, and I said, "You know, dear, I didn't have any problem with that first one, because you really are meeting needs in my life." And the first thing Connie said, "Well, where?" Where? And that's where they want to know, where are they meeting needs? Not just to make a statement, but to give some details here as to where they're meeting needs. I think of three areas primarily where the wife really ministers and meets a need. Now, you can think of several things, and Bill Gothard encouraged everyone to sit down and make a list of areas. And I would encourage each of you guys to do this. I did this myself on that day and came up with about 12 areas where I recognized that Connie was meeting my needs, that no other woman could ever meet my needs. But there are three that are very general that I'll just share with you quickly. Number one, the wife is God's alarm system regarding other women and their motives, whether they be good or evil motives. I frequently, in counseling women, will ask Connie what her opinion is on the thing. And I remember particularly back in Ohio, there was one young girl who seemed to be getting rather dependent upon me. And I didn't have the wisdom or the insight. I just figured, naive Steve, I wasn't aware of what was going on, but Connie seemed to be able to see it much more clearly than I could. And so I kind of had to back off in the relationship. And the wife really is God's alarm system to the husband in the area of other women and their motives. Number two, another area where my wife meets my need that no other can is the fact that she is a reflector of what I am spiritually. She's a reflector of her husband's spiritual condition. If you have a wife and you don't like what you see in terms of her spiritual growth, it's a direct reflection upon your own spiritual condition. There's an interesting story back in the Old Testament, Joseph, and how Joseph, here with his brothers, he had this dream, and he, in the dream, he saw the sun and the moon and the stars in the heaven giving honor unto him. And the interpretation of the dream was that the sun was his father, the moon was his mother, and the stars were his 11 brothers that would all one day have to bow before him. And I think the metaphor here is really beautiful, that the husband and the wife are like the sun and the moon in the heavens. And we look at the sun and the moon, and we see the moon as being the reflector of the sun. What you see shining up on, there in the stillness of the night is just simply a reflection of the sun. And so likewise in the husband-wife relationship, what we see in you wives and what others see in you wives is a direct reflection upon your husband in the same way that the sun is reflected by the moon. And then finally, there's a third area in which your wife can meet needs that no other woman can, and that is in regard to your children. She can discern and meet the needs of your children like no other. You take another woman and stick her into your home situation, and she won't understand your children. She's not lived with them since birth. So she doesn't know your children, and she's not really able to discern what their needs are and minister to those needs like your wife can. And you always want to think about that if you're looking for greener pastures on the other side and you think you can find another wife. Remember, you'll never find another who can understand your children and minister to them like their own mother. The other thing that you must do is you must learn to share basic needs with your wife. How can your wife meet your needs if you're never sharing what your needs are? Now you see, if it's important that she knows that she's meeting vital needs in your life, then you've got to share with her what those vital needs of your life are. This is always one of the beautiful things that I see happening when people go into the hospitals, like Dwayne and Jan, for example, and I'm sorry in a way that I've used them so much in illustrations, but it's such a living illustration before us, that you can see how God just draws couples together. And the wife just somehow comes alive when she sees her husband down on his back. Because the wife sees her husband and how needy he really is. And then she's able to minister to those needs, and he can see how she meets needs in her life. I'm not talking about Dwayne and Jan here. I'm just talking about any husband and wife in a situation like that. She can see how she's really needed in his life. And I think that's periodically why God really gets we husbands into some corners, because it's our wives generally who can have the greatest reinforcement effect in our lives, ministering to needs that would not be there had we not been in such a need. Okay, the second area of need, she needs to see that you cherish her person and that her person delights you. And you'll notice that the word person is in parentheses, not that her looks. You know, it's easy for us to say, you know, honey, you're just the best looking woman that I've ever seen. And we each one feel that way about our wives. But she needs to know more than that, because what's going to happen someday when her looks have vanished and all the wrinkles are there and maybe her hair has become gray? And she knows that there are other women who are much better looking than she is, and perhaps 10, 15, 20 years younger, that as far as looks are concerned would be more appealing to us. But no, she's got to see that her person, her innermost person, the real her in that body, that you really cherish her. And the verses here would be Ephesians 5, 28 and 29, where Paul talks about this. And he talks about it in the sense of the husband loving his own body. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own body. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. I find myself periodically, you know, even last night we were out to Kelfer's for a party and had a lot of fun, and going through all of their rooms, it was quite interesting. Everything but their drawers, and dresser drawers, that is. And I thought I was misunderstood there. But anyway, they had mirrors all over, and I was kidding Russell about this. I said, you know, it's really interesting. I come out here to Kelfer's, and they got all these mirrors in every room, every place you turn, there's mirrors. But I caught myself looking in the mirror and sort of enjoying it. You know, we really cherish our bodies. We really do. But in the same way, we ought to cherish our wives like we do our own bodies. And he's not talking here about the body of the wife. Notice he's saying the wife, but he compares it with the concern that we have about our physical bodies. You know, many of us would be very disciplined in that area, keeping ourselves in physical shape and being neat and attractive and clean every day and well presented before others and try to preserve that body. But in the same way, we are to cherish our wives just like we do our own bodies. And no man ever hates his own body here, but he nourishes it and cherishes it. So that's the illustration we have at that point. She needs to hear and see that you cherish her person and that her person delights you. Let's go on to the third point. She needs the assurance that you understand her by protecting her in the area of her limitations. Again, the key verse would be 1 Peter 3:7, rendering honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now, that doesn't mean that we men don't have limitations. We all do. But it's up to the man to protect the wife in the area of her limitations. I can use a personal illustration here of about a year ago. I believe some of the ladies here in the WMS had asked Connie if she'd be interested in serving as the chairman, I think it was, of the WMS. And I remember Connie asked me about it, and I said, well, dear, I don't feel that that's the area of your gift. And I know she would be frustrated if she was to be in that position. Others are more capable in the area of administration. And we all have to come to the realization of what our limitations are. And there's a certain beauty about a husband. I'm not building up myself. This is terrible to bring this in right after that illustration, which I didn't intend. But there's a certain beauty about a husband that understands his wife, and too frequently I don't, but will keep our wives from being involved in areas where we know they have limitations. They're not gifted, because if we get them involved in those areas, then they're going to be frustrated. And with someone else in that same area, it will just be a natural. And it will really work, because that's the area of their spiritual gift. And it's up to the husband to protect his wife. It might be that your wife has a physical limitation, but she won't get enough sleep or something else. And you need to encourage your wife to get enough sleep and to eat right and to care for herself in all of these different areas. And in doing so, you're protecting her in those areas where she's limited. I think another area would be in the area of dress, that we need to protect our wives. Most wives don't realize what inadequate dress will do to the opposite sex. And I think it's up to the man here. The wife should be willing to come to her husband and say, dear, how do I look in this dress? Is it okay? Am I dressed well enough to go out into public? And that you wives should really look to your husbands in that area, because they know more better than you do how the opposite sex would be affected by that kind of dress. A statement was made regarding dress, that fashion is whatever shocks you, but style is tasteful. Fashion is whatever shocks you. You look at some of the bathing suits that are coming out this year. The more shock reaction they can have, the better the fashion it is. But style is something that is always tasteful. It never wears out. It's good in season and out of season. That's style. In the area of hair care and dwelling on negatives. Maybe your wife has a tendency to dwell on negatives. I do more than my wife does. And you can help her in this area. Poor eating, excessive weight. The husband can probably do the most here to help his wife lose weight if this is an area of limitation. Foolish spending. There's areas where the wife foolishly wastes money. This may be because the husband isn't giving her enough attention in the home. But consequently, the husband needs to examine this. And if that doesn't seem to be the problem, then your wife needs to begin to look to the husband for areas of authority, even regarding finances. Self-criticism. And maybe your wife is too critical of herself. Or late for events. Always late. Has a lack of friends. Or she talks too much. Or she has a weakness after operations, and immediately she wants to get involved again, not realizing that there's some limitations here. Well, that speaks for itself. Number four, she needs to know that you enjoy setting aside quality time for activities and conversation for her alone. Now, the passage that is used here is 1 Corinthians 7, and you may not see it unless you look at that passage. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 4. Actually, verse 3, let the husband fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Now obviously, if the wife has authority over your body, your whole body, that includes your ears as well. And that's the point. Do we really give our wives adequate time with our ears? and with our eyes, that we focus upon them and them alone, and that we set aside quality time in which we can do that and just converse and get to know one another. There's the old saying that conversation builds a oneness of spirit and a deeper love than anything else in the marriage relationship can produce. Conversation builds a oneness of spirit and a deeper love than anything else in the marriage relationship can produce. There's a thought here regarding other women. This was quite interesting, and I think medically it's proven to be true. Your wife can always tell when you're looking at another woman with wrong motives. Now, a woman may be able to come into the room, or you're sitting at the restaurant, and you're both facing one another, and all at once this woman walks by, and your husband may look, and you don't see any change in his eyes. And so that's not a concern. On the other hand, another woman might walk by. She may not be adequately dressed with a short skirt and so forth. And your wife doesn't even see her, but she sees that your eyes change. And the change is the pupils in your eye get larger. Now, this is true. Medically, I understand it's true. That the pupils in your eyes actually get larger when you're looking at another woman from the standpoint of lust. And that's why it's so important that we husbands train our eyes to look upon our own wives. Because be sure your sin will find you out. Okay, the fifth area of need. She needs to be able to trust you with the secrets of her deepest emotional fears. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18 says, "Perfect love casts out all fear." Where there is a perfect love, there is a withholding of no information from one another. Being able to share the very deepest needs with one another because you have that perfect love, that you will be accepted in spite of exposing yourself in this area of weakness. Now, many times a wife has a deep need here or fears about the future, maybe her future security should something happen to you. And you need to talk about that, or perhaps her failure as a wife and as a mother. And you need to talk about that. Many wives fear getting old, much more so than men do. I was just remarking this week how I actually look forward to getting old. And I wouldn't go through those 20s, the ages when I was 20 to 29 or 30, for anything again, because I'm enjoying life so much more now than I enjoyed it then. And I feel like I've got my feet on the ground, and I know a little bit more about what life is about than I did 5 or 10 years ago. But oftentimes it's very difficult for a wife because she knows that her value to society oftentimes is turned in the areas of her physical abilities, her physical looks. And many times this is her security in our culture today. And so she fears getting old and tries to keep herself from doing so. You need to talk about that. She may fear being rejected by others, possibly even ill health, maybe areas of past sins that your wife really still fears that somehow God's going to deal with her regarding those sins. And she maybe has never even shared those sins with you, but that's a deep fear that she has that one day God's going to punish her for that sin. It may be her husband's failure. It may be that you're really failing your wife in some area, and that's created a real fear in your wife. You need to talk about that. It might be she fears a mental breakdown or educational or social deficiency because she never had any college or finished college. She may even fear for her physical safety, and at this point is where we would insert that thought that I believe many of you heard one Sunday morning regarding how to encourage your wife to be able to withstand a moral attack, and that is by introducing God into the situation when she's morally attacked, realizing that the one who is doing the attacking has no fear of God. You've got to bring that fear of God back before him by crying out in the name of the Father to help her in that area and not to let this man do this thing to her. So, now how to deal with fear? I wrote down three things. Number one, discover and listen. You got to listen to what your wife is saying so that you're able to discern what that fear might be. Number two, exposed to a greater knowledge of God and His Word. The two of you together, looking at passages of Scripture, becoming better acquainted with God and what the Word of God has to say. And then number three, remove and correct those past sins, being able to deal with those things in the past that may be causing that fear. I knew I was going to get that bug sooner or later, and I did. Ah, he's been flying around my eyes, and I was trying to get him away. Wow. First time I've ever eaten a bug. Fortunately, it wasn't very big. Ah. Now I know what the whale felt like. Okay, the 60, at least I got rid of him. That's one way to do it. The sixth thing is she needs to sense that you are aware of her presence. And probably of all seven of these needs, this was the one where I failed the greatest. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. The husband and the wife are to leave the father and mother. The husband is to cleave unto his wife. And the two become one flesh. There's a oneness there, a cleaving, a recognizing of your wife above all others, even above your father and mother. That your wife is your most prized earthly possessions in terms of another person that you can ever have. And you need to cleave to her, and you need to be aware of her every time that she comes into the room or into your presence. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about love and how that love is shown. And it's so true in husband-wife relationships as well. That there's a recognizing and an honoring here, as 1 Peter 3:7 says, of our wives when they come into our presence. Ann Landers said something on this recently, which every now and then she gives some good advice, but it was to the husband who just doesn't recognize his wife when she comes into the room. And the wife was complaining. She said, even the dog gets better treatment than that. At least when the dog, when the husband comes in, the dog comes over, the first thing he wants to do, the dog wants, is for that master to look at the dog. And he looks at his dog. And the next thing is he wants just a tender touch here, and maybe a spoken word that, hey, how are you doing today, Rover? And the wife wants to know the same thing when she comes into the room or after you come home at work at night, that just a simple looking at her, a recognizing that she's there. What did I say wrong? Huh. I think our mirror broke. Too much heat. Okay. About everything's happened tonight, hasn't it? We got to hurry on here. But she needs to recognize your presence. It may be just a simple look, a tender touch, a warm embrace, the same thing that you might do with your dog every night when you come home. Your wife is worthy of at least that good a treatment. Other areas in which you can show that you recognize her presence is you can help her with her coat when she has to put her coat on. Help seat her at the table when you go someplace or when you're getting up. Help her in opening the car doors. It's going to be interesting when this service is over tonight to just see how many of you have heard this. Help her in opening the car doors. Your manners. Probably the two worst places where we demonstrate our respect the least is in the bedroom and the bathroom by not cleaning up after ourselves and sort of leaving everything in shambles. And we wouldn't do this if it was a king that came to visit. But because it's our wives, we just sort of let things go. This is really hurting me tonight, too. We'll go on to the last one here real quickly. The final one is that she needs to have outside interests which keep her world in perspective. Proverbs 31:10 and following. You notice here's a godly, virtuous woman. And this woman has many different interests. Sewing. Interest of taking care of her family. She goes out and buys a field. She sells her garments in the marketplace. Here's a woman that has varied interests, and Solomon says she is a virtuous woman. Her price is far above that of rubies. Who can find anyone like her? You strengthen, encourage your wife here to strengthen her family relationship with relatives. Expose her to the great women of church history. Susanna Wesley, I believe it was 19 children that she raised. And her husband was sort of a no-gooder. He didn't give much help in this situation. But Susanna, I feel that bug crawling back up my throat. Help your wife to be able to visualize what her skills are and to develop these skills and become creative in many different areas. Provide the equipment and the skills to do it. It might be you'd like to see your wife learn how to sew. Buy her a sewing machine and let her take some lessons so that she can begin to do this. Maybe in the area of crafts or music or gardening or interior decorating or hairstyling, but every woman should have something that she's interested in over and above just her normal duties there in the home, that she can have something that she can sort of take pride in that she's developing. Many different possibilities in that area. But I'd like to see you take each of these areas and begin to think of ways in which you can meet these needs in your life. And I think with that, I'll just have you stand and we'll be closed in prayer. We would like to maybe recognize our visitors tonight. We had things a little bit backwards. It's not normally this chaotic. We want you to know that if you're visiting for the first time. Those who are regular understand that, that this has been a little bit different tonight. And we hope that you visitors have as well. I wonder, do we have any visitors here for the first time tonight? Anyone? Maybe you could just share with us your names. And, Jordans? Great. Nice to have you folks here. I think I saw another hand down here. Craig? Good to have you here. And back here. Roger? Nice to have you with us. Any others? Pardon? Roar? Yeah, great. Good to have you folks with us tonight, too. Let's look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Father, we really do thank you tonight for the wives that you have given to us. We thank you for the marriage relationship and what a beautiful example it is of the intimacy that exists between our Creator and His creation. We thank you, Father, that you've made us in your image and that we can respond to truth. We can know you. We can also understand one another. And I just pray that you give us as husbands and wives insight and understanding into each other, that we might be better able to minister to needs and to meet needs. Help us this week that our homes may be a beautiful example of the Christ life in every area, that as we minister to one another's needs, others will see by our fruits they will know us, that we belong to you, and that our marriages have been founded and also are sustained by that power which can only come from you. So we thank you for the word and we thank you for the insight tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.